This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So you've done your wudu. What next now? What next is choosing your clothing for salah. What are you going to wear before you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is your attire for salah? And I ask this question because look at how we dress, alhamdulillah, when there is an occasion, be it a business meeting or an outing with friends or a meeting with your fiancé. We don't need to tell you dress well. It just comes to you second nature. It's instinctive. You know how you need to dress for the occasion. Weddings. Nowadays, even men are expected to come with two outfits in weddings. It used to be just women. Now men are expected to come with two outfits as well. As for women, طبعاً, four, five, six plus outfits for the night, this is well known. If you're going to employee gathering, a promotional meeting, an interview, you dress to impress. What is interesting is that this very same individual, a few hours later for Salatul Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib or Isha, will stand before Allah Almighty looking like he is a caveman. Standing in the middle of his room, as if he's auditioning for, you know, a part in Rambo, wearing his vest. Hercules, mashallah. Huh? Khair, inshallah. His PJs. His leopard print t-shirt. Okay, your awra is covered. Your basics are covered. We know your salah is accepted. But this is not how you present yourself in front of the people you respect in your life. Who is worthy? Who is worthier of this type of beautification? Al-Malik. And that is why Allah said, Ya ayyuha alathina amanu, or you who believe, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Ya'ani inda kulli salah. Take your adornments to every prayer, your adornments. Take it to every salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ida salla ahadukum falyalbas thawbayhi fa inna allaha ahaqu man tuzuhina lahu. When one of you prays, put on both of your garments. Because Allah is the worthiest of those who should be beautified for, dressed up for, both of your garments. Because the Arabs used to wear two pieces. There was a lower garment called the what? The izar. And then you had the upper garment called the rida. The rida. So an Arab who would wear both of those garments was trying his best. So he said, when you are praying, put on both of your garments. So in our language today, when we don't wear this much, we are in a Yemeni, mashallah, masjid, so it's still there, especially the lower garment. But in most of the other countries, we don't wear that anymore. So in our language is, choose some fine clothes for your masjid. Choose some fine clothes for your salah. Because Allah is the worthiest of those who should be beautified for. And Al-Bayhaqi narrates that Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion, he saw his servant by the name of Nafi'. He was praying with only his lower garment on, and he had nothing on top, bare-backed and bare-chested. So he waited until he finished his salah. Then he said to him, can I ask you a question? If I sent you to one of the areas of Medina to go and carry out a task for me, would you dress like that? He said, no. He said, فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن يُتَجَمَّلَ لَهُ أَمِنْ النَّاسِ. So who is worthier to beautify yourself for? Allah or the people? It was a lesson for Nafi', subhanAllah, who became one of the scholars and the teachers of course, Imam Malik, as you know. So choose an attire that is befitting of your salah. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to put on your fancy imamah. You don't have to. But choose something that is respectful of the salah. وَذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah said, those people who honor the sanctified things of Allah, it's a sign of the piety of hearts. Sign of the piety of hearts. So for those who love Allah, جَلَّ جَلَّ, this should come instinctively to them. I don't need to tell you, or you don't need to tell me how we should dress when we meet someone we love or we are attracted to. Well then, when you are praying before Allah, Al-Malik, the Sovereign, Al-Jameel, the Beautiful, the One whom you love, the Lord whom we have described in the last couple of weeks. So we've spoken about wudu, and then we've spoken about getting dressed for salah. We now speak about making your way to the masjid. What happens when you make your way to the masjid, as you did today, jazakumullah khair? The short answer is that several things come into effect that would not have happened if you carried out your salah at home. That's the short answer. The longer answer is as follows. The first is that every second you spend outside of your house making your way to the masjid and returning, you are in a state of salah. Subhanallah. And the evidence is that Ibn Khuzaymah narrates in his Sahih on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي بَيْتِهِ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَهُوَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا يَقُلْ هَكَذَا وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. He said, when one of you purifies himself, does wudu at home, whoever does wudu where? At home. Have rahmah on our masjid toilet. Whoever does wudu at home, and then he makes his way to the masjid, he is in a state of salah until he returns home. He said, so none of you should interlock his fingers like this along the way. Interlocking of the fingers is a form of abath. It's a form of idle behavior that is not becoming of a Muslim who is praying. It's not befitting for salah to pop your fingers and to click them and to interlock them. So he's saying, don't just do that during your salah. The moment you leave your house, you are in salah. Till the moment you come back, you are in salah. Subhanallah. So how long is the experience from the moment you left your home for Salatul Isha? And then now you have an hour lecture. May Allah make things easy for you. And then you're going to get back maybe another half an hour or so. It's a 2-hour endeavor. Every second of that, you are in salah. When you go to your dhuhr salah, it takes you 45 minutes from the moment you leave till the moment you come home. Every one of those seconds you are in salah. Allah is kareem. Look at that. That doesn't happen if you just pray next to your bed at home. This section of the lecture, of course, is primarily directed for our brothers. And our sisters, I will say something in a moment. What else happens when you pray in the masjid? Every one of the footsteps you take to the house of Allah is documented for you. If I asked you to go out and to retrace your footsteps, every one of them, you'd say, I can't find them. They're gone. Allah said, "Inna nahnu naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharahum." We are the ones who write their deeds and we write their traces as well. We write their traces. The wind has blown away your footsteps, but they are with Allah. And that is why Muslim narrates on the authority of Ubay ibn Ka'b. He said, كان رجل ما أعلم رجلا أبعد من المسجد منه لا تخطئه الصلاة. I knew a man, he said, who lived the furthest away from the mosque than any one of us. And he wouldn't miss a single salah. Sahabi. فتوجعت له. My heart ached for him. So I said to him, brother, why don't you invest in a donkey that can carry you during the dark hours of the night and during the hot hours of dhuhr? Get a ride. What did the man say? He said, ما أحب أن منزلي إلى جنب المسجد. I don't wish that my house was near the mosque. I don't wish that. He said, إني أريد أن يكتب ممشاي إذا مشيت إلى المسجد ورجوعي إذا رجعت إلى أهلي. Because I want Allah Almighty to write the reward of every step I make to the masjid, and I want the reward for every step back. And when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, قَدْ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ. Allah has gathered all of those intentions for him. All of the reward he wanted, it is for him, inshallah. So number two, your footsteps are written for you when you come to the masjid. Investment to give weight to those scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Number three, you are the guest of Allah, Jalla Jalaluh. Ya akhi, there are some invitations you don't want to miss out on. When a Yemeni invites you, for example, for food, you don't want to miss out on the invitation. Why? Because you, when you are the guest of a Yemeni, ya salam, you better be prepared. Or the guest of a Yani. I'm not going to mention any other nationality because the list is going to get endless. Imagine being the guest of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Who can outdo him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is why he said in the authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من تطهر في بيته ثم خرج إلى المسجد فهو زائر الله وحق على المزور أن يكرم الزائر. Whoever purifies himself in his house, wudu, and then he makes his way to the masjid, then he is the guest of Allah, and it is incumbent upon the visited to honor the visitor. It is incumbent upon the visited, meaning Allah, to honor the visitor, and that's you and I, inshallah. Number four, you have the reward of hajj. You have the reward of a hajji, of a pilgrim who is in his ihram when you come to the masjid to carry out a salah. You don't get that by just praying at home. من توضع في بيته أو من خرج من بيته متطهرا إلى صلاة مكتوبة فأجره كأجر الحاج المحرم. Whoever purifies himself at home and makes his way to the masjid to fulfill one of the obligatory salah, he will be given the reward of a hajj in a state of ihram. A hajji, a pilgrim who is in a state of ihram. Allahu Akbar. What else? You have the multiplication of reward for those who pray in the masjid. Ubaydillah ibn Umar al-Qawariri is the name of one of the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. And he said that once I had a guest who visited me, and it was my habit that I would never miss Salatul Isha in the masjid. The guest visited me, and I honored my guest, and I attended to his needs until we missed the time for Isha in the masjid. And this had never happened before. He left the home, so I left my house in a panic, looking for any masjid that is open in Basra, in Iraq, trying to find a congregation to pray with, and all of the masajid had closed shut. So I came home in a state of grief, and I said to myself, the Prophet ﷺ said that praying in congregation is better than praying by yourself by 21 times, and in one narration, 25 times, and in a third narration, 27 times. So what did Ubaydillah ibn Umar al-Qawariri do? He said, I repeated Salatul Isha 27 times. He said, then I fell asleep and I saw a dream that we were on horses and we were racing, and I was beating the head out of my horse trying to catch up with the group, and they were way ahead of me. I just couldn't catch up. And then one of them turned around and he said to me, La tujhid farasak, don't exhaust your horse. لَسْتَ بِلَاحِقِنَا, you're not going to reach us. I said, why? He said, because we prayed Salatul Isha in congregation, you prayed it by yourself. Pray it 27 times, pray it 270 times, there is nothing like Salatul Jama'ah in the masjid. Subhanallah. So I asked the question, what is it for a person who prays in the masjid? The short answer, you get things that you don't get at home. And the longer answer, you heard those five ahadith. And more, just a sample. Now, as I promised, a word of reassurance to our sisters, perhaps, who perhaps struggle to pray in the masjid or feel that they don't have the opportunity as much as their brothers, their fathers, their sons have to pray in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put their hearts at rest, and we say to them that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. He said, don't prevent women from the masjid. Don't prohibit women from coming to the masjid. But then he said, and their homes are better for them. And their homes are better for them. So for our sister who is looking for reward, nobody can prevent her from coming to the masjid, especially if she is coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an appropriate, upright, decent way in the hijab that Allah Almighty has instructed. Our religion has not prohibited women from coming to the masjid. This was one of the features of Bani Israel, the children of Israel. They were prohibited from coming to their places of ibadah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not prohibit them from coming to the masajid. Although our mother Aisha, she did say after the death of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw what the hijab of women had become after he passed away, he would have prohibited them from coming to the masjid. She said that. But nevertheless, in principle, Nobody can prohibit a woman in concept, conceptually, from coming to the masjid. The hadith says, but the home is better for them. So Allah has given you a station, an opportunity that's not there for us men. For men who want their ajr to be multiplied, they have to come to the masjid and fetch it. And for you, it is there, ready for the grabbing, ready for the taking, from within the comfort of your own home. And that is why in the famous hadith which Ahmad narrates on the authority of Ummu Humayd, the wife of Abu Humaydin al-Sa'iri, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, I love to pray with you in the masjid. Masjid al-Nabawi, salah is multiplied by how much? 1,000. So she said, I love to pray salah with you in the masjid. He said, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكِ تُحِبِّينَ الصَّلَاةَ مَعِي. I know that you love praying with me in the masjid. But, listen, he said, but the salah that you do in your room is more rewarding than the salah you do in your courtyard. And the salah that you do in your courtyard is better than the salah you do in your house. And the salah that you do in your house is better than the salah you do in your local masjid. And the salah you do in your local masjid is better than the salah in my masjid. He's saying that the more you are aware, away from this type of domain, the greater your reward. So Ummu Humayd, she instructed that a small place of salah is built for her in the most secluded part of her home, and she would pray there until the day she died. So this is words of reassurance, let me say, words of reassurance is the word I'm looking for our sisters.